Hi, good morning. My name is Kim Glass, and I'm the Executive Director of the Blue-Green Alliance. We have a lot of dynamic speakers on the phone today to discuss this report, so I'll try to keep my remarks short. We are announcing the groundbreaking of a new report from the AFL-CIO and the Blue-Green Alliance, which shows that by accelerating the timeline for repairing leak-prone sections of our nation's natural gas pipeline distribution system, we can create more than 300,000 jobs across the economy. We can save consumers $1.5 billion in charges for lost gas and prevent the emission of 81 million metric tons of climate change pollution, the equivalent of taking 17 million cars off the road for a year. This can be done by 2024. Our report is titled Interconnected, Repairing America's Pipelines to Strengthen Our Economy and Address Climate Change, and for the first time shows both the economic and environmental impact of accelerating the current pace of replacement of these leak-prone natural gas distribution pipelines. This report can be found on our website, bluegreenalliance.org/interconnected. The Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration estimates that at the current rate of replacement, it could take 30 years to upgrade the nation's current stock of leak-prone pipe. But our report shows how a more advanced 10-year replacement scenario would provide a much-needed economic shot in the arm while helping to limit the amount of methane being emitted into our air. So by fixing America's pipeline sooner rather than later, we can strengthen America's economy and environment. The Blue-Green Alliance was formed in 2006 by the United Steelworkers and the Sierra Club, and today we unite 15 labor unions and environmental organizations with this very simple philosophy. We believe that Americans don't have to choose between good jobs and a clean environment. We can and must have both. Nothing highlights this philosophy better than the Blue-Green Alliance's Repair America campaign. Repair America is our nationwide effort to educate and mobilize union members and environmentalists around modernizing and upgrading our nation's most basic infrastructure systems, the systems we rely on every day for energy transmission, water, transportation, and communications. Upgrading and modernizing our infrastructure, including our nation's natural gas pipeline distribution system, will undoubtedly reduce the pollution driving climate change and create and maintain quality and family-sustaining jobs. The White House has been part of these efforts. They have called attention on this issue, and they brought a lot of groups together to get this underway. Now it's up to labor, environmentalists, and others to pick up the ball and move it forward. We plan on building the momentum from our meetings with the White House by highlighting the importance of this issue, and we will be working towards that in the coming months. We'll continue to work with our partners and our stakeholders who have a vested interest in this issue to help amplify this very important message. Again, the report can be found on bluegreenalliance.org/interconnected. And with that, I'll turn it over to the National President of the Utility Workers Union of America, Mike Langford. Mike?
Thank you, Kim. You know, we have members working in the electric, gas, water, nuclear industries across the United States. We're often first on the scene when our infrastructure fails, whether it's down power lines, leaking gas pipes, or other failures, and often last to leave as we fix the problem. The state of America's infrastructure is a growing problem. Every day our members see how the neglected, run-down, and just plain old systems we rely on every day. Millions of Americans rely on infrastructure for power and water, roads, to get where they need to go and to communicate with each other. We need these systems to be efficient and dependable. A modern, reliable foundation will help us build a strong economy for the future. We also know that investing in and fixing these systems now will protect our communities and also create quality, family-sustaining jobs. There are few needs more basic than what these systems provide. Upgrading these systems to meet basic needs and protect communities is an opportunity to create jobs for American workers. Repairing our natural gas distribution lines is a huge step to creating good jobs and addressing climate change. We can't not afford to miss out on this opportunity to grow and sustain 313,000 jobs across many different sectors. This report is a real eye-opener. Moving forward and accelerating these repairs and replacements would be good for all Americans. It's time that leaders at every level recognize the huge concerns we have in our infrastructure and take actions that will get us on the path to repairing America. We've created this problem. Generations before us left us the infrastructure we needed to be a prosperous nation. We should repay that by ensuring we leave future generations the same foundation upon which to build their America. We saw through Superstorm Sandy, the polar vortex, literally how vulnerable these utilities are. Kim, I'm going to hand it back to you now.
Thanks, Mike. And now Mike Abrun, from the Executive Director of the Sierra Club. Mike?
Thanks, Kim, and good morning, everyone. I'm Michael Brune, Executive Director of the Sierra Club, which is the nation's largest and most influential grassroots environmental organization with more than 2.4 million members and supporters. We are very proud to be a founding member of the Blue-Green Alliance, and I'm pleased to be speaking today alongside my friends and colleagues who are working every day to advocate for working families. Climate disruption is the defining challenge of our generation. It puts our food and water supply at risk, and it endangers our health, our quality of life, and our children's future. We're already seeing the effects of the climate crisis throughout the country. Whether it's floods and fires, extreme weather, or stronger heat waves, more and more Americans are experiencing climate disruption firsthand. I've spent much of the past few weeks in Alaska and the Pacific Northwest. In Alaska, on the shore of the Arctic Ocean, the sea ice was nowhere to be found. This would not have been the case just 5 or 6 years ago. In the Pacific Northwest, we're experiencing the largest fires in Washington state history. The smoke there is so thick that you can taste it. And so clearly, a crisis of this magnitude demands action. We have a moral obligation to do everything that we can by cutting pollution, accelerating a transition to clean energy, and by taking advantage of a tremendous opportunity to modernize how we power our country. The recent National Climate Assessment that was released by the Obama administration confirms that we can expect more extreme weather than what we're already suffering from. This erratic new norm not only threatens our families, our businesses, and our communities, but it puts enormous stress on our nation's aging infrastructure. In the most recent infrastructure scorecard, the American Society of Civil Engineers gave our country's natural gas distribution systems a D+. A D+. We have to do better than this. And when you look at how much methane is leaking from our country's aging gas distribution system, it's pretty clear why. A lot of these pipes are 50 years old or even older, and the EPA estimates that they leak roughly 69 billion cubic feet of natural gas every year. This equates to more than $1 billion out of American families' pockets, and it also incurs a huge cost to our climate. According to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, uncombusted methane is 80 times more potent than carbon dioxide as a climate-disrupting gas over a 20-year time frame. This is simple. This is not the most challenging part of the climate fight. The sooner we repair our nation's urban gas pipeline infrastructure and eliminate these rampant methane leaks, the greater the benefit to Americans' health, air, water, and climate. Doing this will be the equivalent of replacing 17 million gas guzzlers with electric vehicles for a year, and it supports American jobs, and it saves families more than $1 billion. Fixing and modernizing America's in-city gas distribution pipelines is a common-sense solution for fighting the climate crisis that the Obama administration, should act on right away. Thank you. Back to you, Kim.
Thanks, Michael. Now for Leo Gerard, the International President of the United Steelworkers.
Thanks, Kim, and thanks everybody that's on the line. As has been mentioned, the steelworkers are founding members of the Blue-Green Alliance, and I'm extremely pleased with the work that we're doing and the direction we're heading in. Let me just again repeat some of the things that were said and then put a steelworker spin on this. As a reminder, by accelerating it from 30 years to 10, we can create over 300,000 jobs in a variety of economic sectors. We can save consumers more than $1.5 billion, equivalent, as Mike Brune and Kim said, of taking 81 million metric tons or the equivalent of 17 million cars off the road, and also increase America's domestic product by $37 billion. And someone might say, well, why are the steelworkers interested in that? Let me just say that the steelworkers are deeply invested in and interested in all of America's infrastructure. When we look at the pipeline infrastructure, we're now focused on natural gas pipeline, but let me say that almost every pipeline infrastructure in America has more than half of its pipeline infrastructure that would qualify for Medicare. It's that old and that leaky. And in fact, we have our own members who are laid off in the transmission pipe manufacturing sector of our union and would be probably recalled to work if we were to accelerate our pipeline infrastructure repair in the gas pipeline industry. That would be good for unions, be good for the community, be good for creating jobs. It would be good for more than one sector. We can rebuild our bridges. We can rebuild our rail. We can move concrete. All of that has to happen as you rebuild the pipeline infrastructure, because the pipelines have to be dug up and replaced and pipe has to be moved. So it creates jobs across a variety of sectors. And let me just say that I think it's a complete travesty that the rebuilding of America's infrastructure, whether it's the pipeline infrastructure or any other infrastructure, is now caught in the grips of irrational partisan debate where Republicans are refusing to deal with very simple and basic infrastructure rebuilding programs. And it's a shame. We can't let our country miss this opportunity. We have to be involved at every level. We have to go to the community level, the municipal level, the state level, the federal level, and talk about the importance of rebuilding America's infrastructure, and in particular in the gas line infrastructure. I may not have the numbers 100% accurate, but I have the concept accurate. During the winter, because of the aging pipeline infrastructure, the winter that just passed, in certain parts of New England, first of all, gas went through the roof in price-wise, but secondly, and maybe more importantly, there was a bottleneck in the gas line infrastructure, the pipeline infrastructure, in that there wasn't enough natural gas getting through to both heat the homes and run industry. And in many cases in our sector, in the paper sector, companies had to shut down for a day or two or three because they couldn't get sufficient gas infrastructure. That shows the terrible weakness of the system, in addition to the unacceptable leakage that comes out of the aging system that Mike Brune and others commented on. We have the collapse of industry because of that, and because the pipeline infrastructure can't meet the needs of the communities that it provides. So from the point of view of our union, we view this as what we would call low-hanging fruit. This is an opportunity to be rational in creating jobs. It's rational in improving things for the communities. It's rational in improving things for the environment. And it makes massive sense that we move forward as aggressively as possible to repair America's infrastructure, and the gas pipeline infrastructure is in terrible need of repair right now. And as Mike Brune said, methane is substantially more damaging than carbon. And when it's leaking, not only are we damaging the environment, we're damaging our communities, and we're adding way extra cost to our families and communities of heating their homes and meeting the requirements of their communities. So, Tim, I'll turn it back to you with the commitment that the steelworkers are going to be as aggressive as we can be in moving the agenda from 30 years to 10 years.
Thanks, Leo. Now for Brad Markell, the Executive Director of the Industrial Union Council of the AFL-CIO. Thanks.
Thanks, Kim. The Industrial Union Council is a group of manufacturing unions inside the AFL-CIO, 12 of them with about a million members in manufacturing and over 2 million members in total. The AFL-CIO is really proud to release this report today with the Blue-Green Alliance. It really shows that we can create good family-sustaining jobs for American workers, and we can do it when we're addressing environmental challenges. We can't address climate change without rebuilding America's infrastructure, and we can't really get the economy going unless we're going to commit to rebuild our infrastructure. So it's a win-win situation where we're ensuring future generations have the same economic opportunity that we had because of our past infrastructure investments, and we're addressing some of the worst climate pollution, which is unburned methane. When we repair our infrastructure, we're really keen on the idea that we want to make sure the products that we're using are made here in the United States and that we create good family-sustaining jobs with fair wages and benefits and strong workplace safety protections. Because of the nature of this work, we're going to create a lot of construction and manufacturing jobs by accelerating the replacement of these leaky gas distribution systems. And construction and manufacturing have been particularly hard hit in the recession, and this is the kind of thing that helps both those sectors. So we're very happy, you know, that there's an idea out there that we can work on to make that happen. The last thing I want to say is that our infrastructure in general is falling apart. We have not been able to make the investments. As others have said, we're caught up in political gridlock on something that should not be political, and we really need to take action, whether it's the roads, bridges, dams, the natural gas pipelines, our grid, our electrical grid. We're wasting energy and resources, and if we don't act, we're going to be missing a chance to grow our economy. This idea about repairing natural gas distribution systems is an outstanding way to get started. There's a lot of things we should be doing, but this is at the very top of the list in terms of things that can and should be done now. Back to Kim.
And now Dave Barnett from the United Association. Dave?
Yes, thank you, Kim. It is a pleasure to be involved in this worthwhile and critical effort with my colleagues that are on today. In representing the 330,000 members of the United Association, let me say we are the faces of many of the welders, pipe fitters, and fusers that are working to replace these systems every day across America. At the United Association, we invest over $250 million per year in training across the U.S., and a great deal of that is to prepare our members for these types of jobs. We cannot afford any longer to ignore the impact of our failing infrastructure is having on our environment. Every day, members of the UA come into contact with old, leaking pipes, and we know firsthand the need to fix these distribution pipelines. These pipes are putting unnecessary methane into our air, and as you heard Michael Bruin say earlier, methane is a very potent greenhouse gas. This is a big problem for America. 9% of our nation's natural gas distribution pipelines, or approximately 112,000 miles worth of them, are made from leak-prone materials such as cast iron and unprotected steel that have been recognized as far back as 1973 by the National Transportation Safety Board as being unsatisfactory. Although leak-prone materials such as cast iron and unprotected steel make up a small share of the overall distribution system, they are 18 times more leak-prone than plastic and 57% more leak-prone than the modern steel pipe that is installed today. Again, as you heard Michael earlier, the Environmental Protection Agency estimates roughly 69 billion cubic feet of natural gas leaks from the distribution system every year. Make no mistake, this is fuel that consumers and businesses are largely paying for in their monthly gas bills. Replacing and repairing these pipes over the next 10 years instead of 30 years will prevent an additional 81 million metric tons of greenhouse gases from being emitted into our atmosphere. This will save consumers an estimated $1.5 billion of lost gas, as you spoke about earlier, Kim. And this effort will mean good, family-sustaining jobs for workers. We cannot afford to miss out on over 300,000 jobs, nor can we continue to ignore the impacts that this leaking methane has on our environment. Preparing America's natural gas distribution pipelines is the kind of job-creating solution that our leaders need to act on. Already, communities and states across the U.S. are working to upgrade and replace these leak-prone pipes, but this is happening at much too slow of a pace. We shouldn't wait any longer to put Americans to work and addressing climate change. This effort will be great for our economy and environment, and the United Association backs it 100% and will do everything we can to promote this great cause. We should start today. And yes, I agree, American products are the best type to use. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you. I'll now turn it over to our operator, Aaron, to let you know how you can ask questions.
floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press the number 7 on your telephone keypad. If at any point your question has been answered, you may press 7 again to disable your request. Please hold while we wait for the first question.
During this time while we're waiting for questions, this important report that is being issued today is about our distribution system, something that BGA strongly supports. And to recap some of the statistics about fixing our pipelines, it will grow and sustain 313,000 jobs across a variety of economic sectors by 2024, which is nearly 250,000 more than in the 30-year scenario. It saves consumers $1.5 billion in charges for lost gas. It prevents 81 million metric tons of equivalent of climate change pollution, which is similar to taking 17 million cars off America's roads for a year, and it increases our U.S. GDP by $37 billion by 2024. And to view the full report, it's on bluegreenalliance.org/interconnected. Now we'll take the first question.
The first question comes from Mark Chirik. Mark?
Hi, yes. Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is Mark Chediak with Bloomberg News. Just a quick question regarding the push here to replace pipe in 10 years instead of 30. Are you looking to introduce federal legislation that would require this? Because my understanding is that distribution pipes are regulated primarily at the state level.
This is Leo Gerard. Let me jump in and say that we've been talking about this now for quite some time and doing substantial analysis with various environmental groups of where the most leakage or where the leakage has been coming from consistently. And I think we've got to do a number of things. We've got to convince the federal government that it's important for federal government to help and to assist in a program of, we talked about rebuilding the infrastructure of America, and clearly the pipeline is an important piece of that infrastructure. There's over 1.2 million miles of gas pipeline, and we've already heard about the percentage of leakage that's in there. Then we also have to work at the state level, and we've got to work at the municipal level, because quite often, as Michael Bruin made a comment, when these pipes wear out or break or leak, it often happens right in a municipality, right in a neighborhood. And we've seen numbers of explosions, and we saw in New York City, in an old building, the explosion that took place. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important that the labor movement, the environmental movement, clearly through the Blue Green Alliance, work at every level, and that we get the federal government promoting infrastructure rebuilding. We get the state level that participates in it. We get the municipal level that identifies and participates in it. And we accelerate that over a 10-year program. And we can't wait for somebody else to do the job. And again, I'll just rehash. I think it's absolutely outrageous that the House of Representatives in the federal government is holding up any resources that would go to rebuilding infrastructure. The pipeline to fund the highway bill till May. We have our members that work on highway work. No company's going to make a massive investment for 6 months of projects. It takes that long to get it off the ground. So we see the same problem with pipeline infrastructure. We've got to get it committed by every level of government to accelerate this and try to get as much of that pipeline done, made in America pipe, solid pipe, and get it done over a 10-year period. It has to involve every level of government.
And as far as sort of incentivizing this, does the group look at, are you guys looking at the sort of, what sort of financial incentives are you looking at as in order to sort of spur this development or spur this upgrade, rather? Because ultimately I'm assuming that gas customers may have to pay a bit more in their bills to pay for this.
Well, one of the things that you got to keep in mind is gas customers are paying now for the gas leakage. I think it's well over $1 billion a year that they're paying for gas they never get, and figuring out what the leakage will do and closing the leakage, figuring out what kind of return you get on eliminating that leakage will be useful. And I'm not sure if Michael Bruin or Brad or Kim have any numbers on it. I don't have it at the time, but I know that if you eliminate the waste, by eliminating the waste, it may pay for most of it itself over time.
Yeah, Mark, this is Michael Bruin from Sierra Club, and just as you were saying earlier that there's a significant amount of the regulation comes from the state level. Our analysis shows that there is no one single piece of legislation that we're going to be looking for, both whether it's municipal, statewide, or federal. And in a similar way, there's no one single pot of funds that we would be seeking for this or a single set of incentives. Just like it's regulated by multiple entities, we also have identified a number of potential sources of ways to provide incentives, both municipal and statewide and federal. And as Leo said, we do think that there will be significant savings that will help make this economically a great investment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be happy, Michael, I'd be happy to talk offline with you guys about what those incentives might be.
Well, in addition to what they've spoken about, it's going to take public and private involvement for the best interest of our country. You have to keep in mind something that hasn't really been touched on today, but a couple of times, and the public lives around these systems every day. These systems have to be safe. I feel like if the public is getting something for it, they're going to be willing to have a safe system. We owe them nothing less than a safe pipeline system to live and work around.
Great. The next question.
Again, if you do have a question, please press the number 7 on your telephone keypad. Okay, we do have a question on the line from Rhiannon Myers. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Rhiannon Myers with the Houston Chronicle. Are there any states or municipalities that y'all have identified where the leaks are most acute, which really should be targeted for campaigns or incentives to accelerate repairs?
There are key areas where we have targeted. Of course, with the older systems, you're going to find them in a lot of the metropolitan areas. And so about every metropolitan area across the country has got leak-prone pipes within them. But I want to say this right now. You're from Houston, and the research we've done, I'm going to tell you, Houston has done a fantastic job of getting rid of their cast iron pipe. They are one of the cities in the United States that we could look up to on the way you guys have addressed it in your area.
This is Leo Gerard again. Let me hop in. In addition to the leakage, as a result of what we saw last winter of the sort of record cold that we had with record snow in lots of places, I want to take you back to New England. The pipeline infrastructure in the New England states is inadequate. Over and above the fact that there's leakage in the New England states, it was inadequate to meet the demand in New England for heating homes, heating apartments, and industrial use. And as I said, a number of our companies that we represent the workers in were unable to work their full work schedule because they had to, the providers had to make a choice between heating homes and industry. And most of the time, rightfully so, industry had to be shut for a few days or a few hours while we met the demand on the community side for people's homes. So that by itself speaks to the need to do this. And that was on top of leakage that exists already. And I don't know if there's probably other areas of the country that saw the same kind of thing. And we saw that the funnel through which gas was going was also driving up prices that were like $4 in Louisiana and $17 in Maine. It just doesn't make sense.
This is Mike Langford. Leo, what you're saying is across the country, there's just not enough capacity in the ground to supply all the needs for they're building new power plants for natural gas. We need the whole infrastructure to be able to handle it. It's almost like the cart's been put before the horse. You need to put bigger pipes in the ground so you can carry more gas. So it's a critical issue going on in this nation because that polar vortex they couldn't fire up certain power plants due to the fact there just wasn't enough gas in the lines and the residential users would have suffered. So it's a big issue.
So our report, is really focusing on distribution, and obviously I think Mike in your comments and Leo in your comments talked about older established cities like Boston, New York, Chicago, LA. While a lot of these cities are moving in the right direction, it's certainly not keeping pace. You know, so I just wanted to highlight those as particular areas, and obviously New England